Hey everyone, this is John.
This is Wes.
And this is Ryan.
And this is the Nintendo episode 84 of the Best Damn Nintendo Podcast.
I prefer the first take.
Much better. That was so crisp though, the second time around.
I prefer the first take.
I was able to project.
I mean, I'm using the second take, but now everyone is going to be confused.
Mm-hmm. Well, that if you just, you know, leave the first take in.
I will not.
Oh.
This is episode 84 of the Nintendo, which is important. It's an interesting number, number 84.
Why is that?
It's divisible by 12.
Okay.
So this is an anniversary show, 7 years.
Oh, for real?
Seven
oh, really?
Years, yeah.
How about that? Is that why we're drinking our IBC black cherry?
Yeah, that's why me and Ryan, or me and Wes have
soda. My name is Wes.
Soda, yeah.
You've known me almost all my life.
For at least 7 years now.
I am drinking a Coppertail Pilsner, which is called The Independent.
How is it?
It's really good. It's very, very good.
Is it? Do you feel independent while drinking it?
Yeah, well, Pilsner's a very just American style of beer, so I guess maybe that's what they're going for.
How many do you have?
Six of them. Okay. Well, five after this guy.
Right.
After this one disappears into my belly.
Maybe I'll join you for the next part, next section of the show.
Okay. Yeah. No. We were asking how many you've had already.
Oh, no. Like, so since when? Like, when do you technically start a day?
Since you turned 21. Like, have you stopped drinking since?
Okay, so here's the thing. I've decided to do this thing where I don't sleep until every third day, and then I just sleep a lot.
Okay.
So technically, I've been drinking for 3 days straight.
Very good.
Yeah.
Isn't there like that thing where you don't sleep at night, but you just take a 20-minute nap every 3 hours?
That sounds like torture.
Yeah.
How do you get anything done if you do that?
It's just a 20-minute nap every 3 hours. So
it doesn't
just,
make any
you know,
sense.
So you're not sleeping for like 8 hours. You're
right.
Well, that's what they say, that if you had no sunlight, if you were not around sunlight, and you didn't have any sense of a day-night cycle, that your body would inherently adjust to a 12-hour sleep cycle, and then longer days. You would be awake for a longer duration, sleep your 12 hours, and then do that cycle. Your body would prefer that over 8 hours.
That seems weird, though, because there's 24 hours in a day, so 12 hours is half the day.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what's so strange. And that's the other thing, is like, even blind people, like, a blind person walks outside and their skin is still absorbing sunlight, so in their body's physiology, they know that there is day and night, and they get a sense of it. So they adjust to that.
I mean, unless I, like, pop 4 Benadryl, I can only get to sleep screaming.
Yeah. So, John, you're struggling with Benadryl addiction?
That's where we left off. I'm addicted to antihistamines, yes.
Oh, my God. Yeah, just take them right out the butt.
You know I can't swallow pills. I have to take them, though.
Like. Yeah, well, you can't swallow pills. There's other things you swallow.
So we usually start out
video games.
Yeah,
so video games, listener.
We usually start out the official show with news. This is the official show for the month of October.
Well, we already got some news. Apparently, we just found out how you take Benadryl.
Yep.
So that's news.
There's also a Switch firmware update. The Switch was updated to 4.0.
Wonderful.
And it added a few more things. The biggest thing for me is it gives more detail in the activity log. It's still not super detailed yet, but if you It used to be where until you had played a game for 5 hours, it wouldn't tell you how long you had played the game. Now they have smaller increments, so I can tell, like, oh, I've played Senmora for 3 hours.
Huh.
As opposed, like, yeah, before it would just say, you've played it for a little while.
That's kind of like a Steam creature. I remember, like, Steam did that a lot.
Mm.
And now Blizzard does it a lot, too, with characters. They actually clock the time you spend. Like, I know in Diablo, they clock the time you spend.
They did that with Overwatch, too.
I mean, it really doesn't mean anything. It's just kind of cool to know.
Yeah.
Or it's like, hey, look at that. I put in 45 hours on Junkrat. I still suck with him.
Or it's like a Hearthstone when someone's got like that max level with the gold backing on some
character.
Yeah,
I got that
like,
on my Hunter.
Oh, that's so sad, though.
I got that on my Hunter.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, good for you.
But like the 3DS...
You've unleashed a hound or two?
Yeah, a couple of hounds. You know.
Yeah.
But the 3DS has a really nice detailed activity log.
Right. 3DS?
Yeah. Remember that thing?
Who are we?
I have a 2DS.
Yeah, and the 2DS will have as well. The Wii U, they like... The 3DS introduced, like, this sort of activity. Like, the Wii had, like, a little bit of one. But the one of the 3DS has been really great. And ever since then, on all the new hardware, they've gotten worse.
Oh, that's the thing at the top, right? Or is it, there's a little button you click and it kind of just shows what your activity is.
Right, and it'll show you, like,
play-by-play of what you've done.
Your entire library of games and how much time you spent with them. It'll, like, rank the games. Like, by you can switch the rankings around, like, how much time you've played.
Oh, God.
How many times you've played it. Like, what is your average play time per game?
Mm-hmm.
It's really cool. But the Wii U one...
I'm going to be on, like, hundreds of hours for some of those games, I bet.
Yeah.
Like, I bet X. X is probably the one that I clocked the most time on.
Has a lot of eggs?
Yeah, because that was my because I have an X and a Y, but X is the one that I did my first run through of and completed the decks on and all that shit. So that's also just sort of my default game.
Yeah,
when I want to fuck around with Pokemon.
I started up a new run of Alpha Sapphire. I
saw that. Very cool.
We'll get to that a different
show. I would love to. Sure. I lost my copy.
Yeah, I remember.
Mm. Yeah.
Tragic. So you get more detail in the activity log for the Switch now. It's still not up to snuff with like the 3DS or even the Wii U, but hopefully they get there at some point. You can also now do video capture. You can capture up to 30 seconds of video and post it to social media of your choice, which is cool. And they should have they've said they're going to have longer videos in the future. So it's starting out 30 seconds and we're going to expand on it later.
That's, I think 30 seconds is plenty of time.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to list it to like adult singles, right? Yeah. Like that's probably it.
I captured one video and I immediately trimmed it down to like 16 seconds just to like get rid of it. It was in Mario Odyssey in one of the first areas I possessed a Tyrannosaurus.
Of course.
The first thing I immediately did is I used it to jump over a gap I couldn't get over myself. Yes. And I took a video of me dropping down this monstrous Yoshi down a cliff.
I love how the game gives you that.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking that the whole time when Kathy was there, it's like, you know Yoshi's gotta be pissed the fuck off. Or he's like, stay away from him. He is mine. I don't care that he kills me constantly. Like, we have a bond. You are a fucking cat.
You are fashion, sir.
You are an accessory at best.
One of the other things you can do in this from the Switch firmware update is you can transfer save files to other systems. That doesn't really mean a whole lot to anyone in this room, really, but one of the things it's useful for is, like Natalie, Jeremy's wife, created a profile on my Switch.
Okay.
If she were to buy her own Switch, she could actually transfer that profile over to hers and have all of her save data from Breath of the Wild.
The whole hour.
Right, the hour that she played when she started her new game.
But you won't have to spend that hour again.
Right.
Yeah.
Of the 140 hours she'll put in the game, she won't have to beat
that one. I've seen the speedrun. She could have beaten the game in that amount of time.
That's true.
I when it comes to games, I can't like play a bit of a game, put it down, come back months later, and pick it up where I was, and just keep going. Most things I typically can't do that.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, what the fuck did I do?
Right, how do I even play this game anymore?
When have I completed it?
Yeah.
The difficulty curve at this point in the game is very difficult for someone who doesn't have the muscle memory to do this shit. Well, so I'm like, alright, now I gotta start the fuck over.
To me, it depends on the game. Like, I will never sit through the opening of Okami again. I don't give a fuck where I have to pick up my save file. That opening takes forever to get through.
Yeah.
I won't do it.
That one's rough.
And I do still plan on beating Okami one day.
It's a very long game.
Yeah, so I've heard. Because then, like, at the end, you have to go through this entire boss rush, which sounds terrible to me.
There's only, like, four of them.
Still sounds terrible.
Well, at that point in the game, the snake thing, forget his name. Like, the main bad guy.
Let's call him Brian.
Yeah, okay, Brian, the AI snake.
There's probably a better snake out there than you can think of.
You fight that guy three or four times throughout the game. Like, you go to flashbacks and other things like that. You end up fighting him over and over and over again.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah. And it's the exact same fight.
Hmm. What? They don't even, like, mix it up a little bit?
You beat him the same way.
Great. Anyway, the last big thing that came from this Switch firmware update is, remember that GameCube adapter for the Wii U? It connected into one of the USB ports and you could use GameCube games on Wii U. Now it works on Switch.
I did see a post about this.
That's really cool.
And apparently it was like an accident. Like, when Nintendo was asked about it, like,
I was drunk during the firmware. I was like, oh, shit, I didn't even... How did I do that? Brian!
What it is they also opened up a different... The USB port to work with different accessories, like for certain wireless headphones that use a USB adapter, that kind of thing. So it doesn't seem like it was intentional. And when they were asked about it, they were like, oh, yeah, we noticed that works sometimes now. Yeah, I think we're just going to leave it in there. So, you know, there people speculate that maybe it has something to do with, like, them setting up for, like, a GameCube virtual console at some point, or maybe the next version of Smash, whatever that turns out to be. Will you be able to use your GameCube controllers for it via the...
Having to play Smash on the tiny little controller.
That's true.
That would be hilarious.
A nightmare.
I do need to get a Pro controller at some point here, because, like, the Wii U sorry, not the Wii U, but the Switch Pro controller is really good. The Wii U controller is pretty good too. But the Switch Pro controller looks really good.
Yeah.
Especially that Xenoblade one.
I think they should make it so that you have to use this like the same way that you had to use like the wall, like the what's the thing with the cord that connected the two? You know what I'm talking
about? The nunchuck, yeah.
They should make
for the Wii.
They should require you to use a nunchuck involving both of your like mini controllers. But that's how you have to play the game now.
But there are games, well, there are a lot of games support that. You don't have to connect them into the dock. You can keep your
You have to buy a tether.
Yes,
you have to buy a cord that connects the two, even though in no way does it enhance the functionality.
Yeah, they can
it's literally just a cord that
they can actually do that because you can there's those wrist straps that you attach to the top of the Joy-Con to make
just
it tie
two of them together. That's all you
yeah,
do.
Bam. Exactly. Oh, you just take the actual like wrist straps on the Joy-Con adapter like
yeah,
just
tie yeah, that's it.
Here's the controller. You got to use this one.
So the Xenoblade Pro controller, is that just a special one they're coming out
yeah,
with?
Yeah, it's
going to
be sold separately, yeah.
Okay. That one's pretty cool looking.
I mean, yeah, it is really cool looking, but the one thing about a lot of Switch accessories is they can be pricey. It's like $70 for
yeah.
a Pro controller. It's more than the price of a game.
Nintendo's really proud of their stuff.
They really love to sell you plastic.
Yeah.
They love it.
Yeah. And cardboard.
Yeah, and cardboard. Empty boxes. They will sell you empty boxes. They don't give a fuck.
No. Well, they know that you have a collection, a physical media collection that you need to maintain. With how will you not know that you have this game unless you
right.
have a cardboard box there that says, I own this title.
I can't think of a virtual console game where I would have bought the box separately. Because they did that. Like, most notably, they do it like the Pokemon virtual console game.
Well, let's say you buy Breath of the Wild virtually. Would you buy a box for that?
Maybe.
Mario Odyssey?
Maybe. Well, see, there are 3DS games that I own digitally that I would have preferred to wait and just gotten the physical version, because the box is a big reason for that. Games like Fire Emblem Awakening and Luigi's Mansion, I really wanted them day one, but I didn't have them pre-ordered, and the few stores that I went to didn't have them stocked day one, so I just decided to download it. Hmm. In retrospect, I probably should have waited a couple days and gotten a physical version or, you know, signed up for Amazon Prime much earlier and just had them sent to my house.
There you go. There's your plug-in this episode.
So, yeah, I mean, Amazon, best website in the world.
Mm-hmm. Fuck Alibaba.
it has crossed my mind because there are like different places where you can go to where you can actually like just get PDFs or printouts of box art and put them in your own cases so you can have an empty box displayed on
your
shelf.
That's a degree
of
desperation, though.
Right.
Right.
I haven't gotten to that
point
yet.
If you have the box, then I guess maybe you could at least like consider reselling it.
Sure.
You know.
Right, but at that point, it's vanity.
Yeah.
And I've thought about it. And I still might one day do it.
Well, you are the type that likes to flip the artwork around on the inserts.
I do.
Just so you
yeah,
can
I love reversible
confuse
box.
Confuse yourself as to where your games are.
Oh, no, that was him.
That was me.
Yeah.
That was all me.
I keep a strict track of my library.
But I did love that reversible.
It's so good.
It's so nice.
Every game should have reversible box art.
It really should.
Because it's so cool.
BioShock Infinite did.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Cool.
Really cool.
Speaking of weird accessories and selling plastic.
I may have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
I don't know.
Anyway,
okay.
I wanted to talk about Nyko, noted third-party maker of video game accessories like controllers. They made a Switch dock, which is, I think, the first one that you can get aside from the official Nintendo one. Official Nintendo one's $90. This one is $50. Yeah. Now, it's not really pitched as something to replace your current Switch dock. It's more of like a portable thing because it is much smaller. But it does come with an HDMI cable. It comes with an AC adapter. And they like have pictures of it on Amazon, of course, where it's small enough to where you can put it in like a Switch carrying case. And you know, it's a much more portable-friendly option.
It's
and
cool that you built that with a HDMI cable that was retractable.
I suppose. The thing with retractable
is they get beat up and then eventually
yeah,
they're
break.
Useless anyways and they break.
Yeah.
But maybe
and see,
I don't know. People got to come up with a way to do a retractable and something like that you can replace the HDMI.
I mean, I think at that point, you just like, because the nice thing about HDMI cables is they're all interchangeable.
Yeah.
Like, so if you lose that HDMI cable or whatever,
just go get another HDMI.
Anymore.
I don't know. I was just trying to think of a better, more convenient way to make it with it being portable.
And really, most of the time, like, if you're just taking the dock with you to someone's house, like, most everyone is going to have an HDMI cable. You don't even need to carry that with you.
Not
just
really.
Like, hey, let's just unplug this and plug this in.
Yeah, so you probably already have multiple devices hooked
yeah.
up to your thing using HDMI cables. Just unplug your Blu-ray player and put that in.
Yeah,
thing.
Exactly. But this thing, as opposed to $90, which is the Nintendo one, is $50.
And there, yeah.
So it's almost half the price. There seems to be some connectivity issues with this, so you know, be wary if you're looking for another Switch dock. You know, and there's one or two reviews that I've seen of it where it ends up fucking up the battery of the Switch. So, you know, it seems like a pretty good deal. Most people who have written reviews seem to have a pleasant experience with it. But, you know, consider if you actually need another dock before taking the plunge just yet.
Mm-hmm.
We have had a couple of game announcements. I've stopped trying to keep track of all the games announced for the Switch. It's just too goddamn many. But a notable one, Shin Megami Tensei 5 was confirmed for Switch. That's the penis chariot game.
Yes, of course.
And this one was actually announced back
See a picture of it. Somebody posted it somewhere. Okay. I forget. The penis chariot. I've never seen it before.
It looks so angry.
And then I saw it. I was like, wow, that looks just like mine.
It's blatant. I don't. Wheels and all.
Yep.
But this game was actually confirmed for Switch back in that January unveil for the Switch, but it was just some Shin Megami Tensei project. It was anonymous at that point, but it has been confirmed as like an official mainline entry. And there's a teaser trailer. They don't show too much of it.
They're going to have to one-up themselves, though. They got to do something more over the top this time around.
It's really cool to see that series continue on Nintendo platforms. It would be cool to see like the Persona series jump over to Nintendo as well, but you know. Atlas is kind of dividing things up between PlayStation and Nintendo to kind of keep a wide fan base going there. I really like the Shin Megami Tensei series. I'm really pleased that this was confirmed as a mainline game. It's going to be really cool. Also announced, and Wes, this is right up your alley, Animal Crossing Pocket Camp was announced for mobile devices.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it's coming out in November. Oh my god. It's absolutely free.
Mm-hmm.
Wes, I actually think you should download this and report back. Come on. It's
not going to happen.
Why? Are you afraid you're going to like it?
They're animals and they're crossing.
That doesn't mean anything.
Mm-hmm.
No, you should give this a shot. I think the thing that surprised most people about this announcement is actually looks like a fleshed out Animal Crossing game and less like a mobile tie-in. I think people were thinking that it was going to be like a tie-in kind of game or application that would have connectivity with a more full-featured game on the 3DS or Switch, but it actually looks like a legit game. And of course, a mobile game is free, and you have to pay money for like to speed up cooldowns and things like that. It is a mobile game, so there's going to be microtransactions in here.
Ugh, disgusting.
Yeah, it's a little disturbing.
Yeah,
but
my two favorite things in the world, Animal Crossing and mobile games.
You should download this.
Oh, God.
Do it.
Oh, God.
And the last piece of news I wanted to touch on before we break here. There's a new 3DS coming out. This one's out in November, and this one's styled after the Super Nintendo. It's the new 3DS, like, Super Nintendo edition, I think it's called.
Yeah,
this one's out November 27th. It's $200, and it looks really nice. I really like the purple, like, Super Nintendo.
Is it, like, a regular 3DS, or is it an XL version, or was it?
I believe it's an XL.
Okay.
So it's a new 3DS XL. So yeah, that looks pretty cool. Let's take a break from the news and then come back with new releases. We got new releases.
Whew.
And we got a lot of them.
Yeah.
And you guys have actually played some of them. This is going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
So first up, I think this one technically came out at the end of October, but Amazon didn't send my copy until...
End of September?
Yes, thank you. End of September.
End of October.
Yeah. This one didn't come out till the end of September, But I didn't get it until like mid-October because Amazon didn't ship it to me right away. But it's a Sinmoor EX. It is that shooter game that we were playing through. It does have a co-op mode.
Hmm. That was weird.
Yeah, the co-op mode is weird.
That's very, very odd.
Tell me why it's weird.
Okay, well, you have your regular ship and main character, player one's playing.
Right, like you're playing like Galaga or something, or
R-Type. Yeah, you're picking up power-ups, you're getting stronger and shit and everything. Player two is this weird little...
Orb.
Ship orb thing.
Like a drone.
It looks like an engine just floating around. Like, it's very odd. And it just has one gun that...
No power-ups.
Doesn't get any stronger. You pick up power-ups for the main ship, and he shoots... He can shoot all around him. There's a... Those two buttons. The top one and the left one.
The shoulders?
No. The ones on the bun D-pad. I forget what the
X and, X and Y?
X and Y.
Oh, yeah. Well, those are your those.
Yeah, that turns where the gun is shooting.
And shoots it. And if you hold both at the same time, you're shooting in a stationary position.
Yeah.
Oh.
Which I found much easier to navigate, or just to actually like shoot the thing using that, than trying to pick my direction and then hold down the shoot button, which is technically the right button?
Okay, yeah.
So it's really weird how they have it set up, but I think if, for starter, if you just didn't realize that A could shoot and you just spent your entire time sticking with the XY setup to shoot,
you'd probably be better off. Because I'd already gotten used to, like,
yeah, exactly.
Hitting A and then adjusting with X and Y.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much, like, Y turns the gun clockwise and X turns it counterclockwise. And so you can spin it around and everything. So you can shoot in all different angles and different directions.
Mm-hmm.
Which is an advantage of being... The little orb drone, because when you're playing as one first player, you can only shoot forward.
Yeah, but it's also a disadvantage because I don't get any power-ups or anything.
You get the one shot and enjoy it.
Yeah.
Oh, did you ever start playing a game called Lovers in Dangerous Space-Time?
No.
It was a game that's kind of like this, where it's a two-person thing, and you're like on a shared ship together, and you're two people that are actually inside the ship.
Okay.
But that's exactly how it works, where it's like you need... So someone's a navigator and someone's a shooter, and you gotta kind of hop around from the turrets, but that's how they make it work, is that, you know, rather than like trying to use the directional to shoot, you just kind of... It shoots and you pick where you're going.
We should try that. It's available on Switch.
Really?
Yeah.
This game is a lot of fun. And, I don't know. It really shows you,
There's a giant heart in space. What can be wrong?
How nice your friends are. Or like...
sure.
How cooperative they are.
Oh, okay. So we're going to die every 5 seconds.
Well, we played through quite a bit of Affordable Space Adventure.
Well,
that did not go well.
Well, here's what I noticed. Because I played with a bunch of different people.
What are you talking about? We beat it.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
And there were some people that didn't realize that you work fluidly if you can communicate and say, I'm navigating, now you're shooting. And then when it's convenient, swap. Because like maybe... You need the turret on the right.
Right.
But you're in the navigation seat, you're right there, you're ready to go, and they're on the left side of the ship. So it's more convenient to just, you know, gunner's on the left, move to navigator. Navigator moves to gun.
Mm-hmm.
That's the fluid way to do it. But then you have some people that sort of insist, like, they don't want to be the navigator, they want to be the shooter. And it's like, okay, I guess I'm just navigating the whole time. Or the other way around, or it's like someone never lets you take the chance to navigate. Because that's the other thing that's also kind of annoying, is that it's not just shooting with the shield. There's a shield that you have to prevent you from getting hurt.
Okay.
So you kind of have to... Whoever's not doing the navigating is working the guns and the shield.
Hmm.
I don't know. It's really a fun game, though. And again, it'll test your patience if someone isn't playing the way that they want to play rather than the way that you two should be playing.
Hmm. Yeah. We should definitely give that one a shot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we're cooperative.
Yeah.
Well, given what we were just doing, you know, with that game.
We played, what was that game? The Super Mario on the Wii.
New Super Mario Bros. Wii?
Yeah, that one.
Was that the one where I kept running ahead of everybody? And then
John kept
bubbling when it was
John kept hitting people in the head and plummeting them, so they had a bubble. And then he would pop the bubble in very awkward points.
Right over
and
the
we
lava.
Would plummet again.
No, I don't understand the problem.
I understand. What's the problem here? And then he'll take all the good power-ups.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're supposed to keep them all for yourself. So
there's two for a reason, John.
But the weirdest thing about the cooperative mode in Sinmoor is that at every like transition or cutscene, the second player drone just blows up. Like it just kills you.
Over and over and over again.
And I get it. Well, because you're playing through this whole scripted thing. It's very clearly scripted.
Uh-huh.
And it's constantly doing these crazy 3D transitions. Because essentially like it's a side scroller, but they have these 3D transitions.
Right, that take place. It's a really nice looking game,
and they can't just.
I don't know why we have to explode. Just let them fade away for a moment. That's not
like that's better.
Yeah.
Well, like it's Back to the Future, and they're just slowly disappearing.
I guess it is a little insulting. Just like, good job, you made it through the section. Boom. That's not you. You don't get to live.
Well, because you also don't know when you've done the thing. Sometimes they're not clear about. Like, if it's a boss, you know when the boss thing blows up, it's like you're done. But sometimes they're just transitions that you don't expect. So you're like going along, you're rocking.
That's the way of
marking. You're like, okay, great.
That's the way of marking a checkpoint. Does it just kill off the second player?
They did it so many times. There was one where they did a transition, spawned you, and then popped you again. So transition once more. Okay.
So stupid.
But it got to the point where you're sitting there like, hurry up and explode already. I want to get done with this part. It's been hell.
But you're not equals either. That's the thing.
Right.
This, because if you're playing player two, you're essentially collecting resources for the support. You're collecting resources for player one.
And your gun is so strong, that's really what you're good at, is collecting the shit.
Yeah. And then beyond that, I think it's just a matter of like trying not to die.
Right,
because there are so many parts where it's like, if I was navigating and I accidentally get killed, then you get killed along with me.
Yeah.
So,
that's the way it works. Well, you know, there are some other, you know, despite the sort of weird, wonky co-op, there's some cool mechanics to the game. Like, it's not like most typical shooters of this style where, you know, you get hit once and you blow up. You're essentially on a timer that's ticking down.
Yeah.
And you can add more time by killing enemies, and every time you take damage... You lose time off your clock. But then also, the power-ups that you collected scatter.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to keep them, you got to go get them. And there's a couple... There's a neat little trick you can use in order to get them really quickly. Because in addition to building your power-up, like your gun strength, you also build up this meter that you can expend to slow down time.
Mm-hmm.
So if you take some damage... It's really easy just to slow down time really quick, grab all your power-ups back before they scatter too far, and then just keep going.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think the main pitch for that slowdown time for the game is that if you find yourself in a situation where you're about to take some damage, you can slow down time and move out of the way. But there are certain parts of the game where the screen is just filled with bullets.
Mm-hmm.
So it just makes more sense to just take the hit... Slow down, grab your power-ups real quick before another huge wave of bullets comes around.
Well, a lot of that is just, like, scraping damage. It's not, like, a real heavy hit. Like,
right.
Oftentimes when they do those big... like, and it's clearly just meant for the visual aesthetic. Like, they want you to see that all there's, just, you know, cool...
Look what I can do.
Yeah. All these effects.
And then, like, you watch the time, and it's like, even if you were just intentionally just housing them, just rolling right through a line of bullets, it's really not moving... that bad.
Right.
Compared to like a boss that's got like nasty laser cannon that just tags you for 10 seconds.
The worst part
about painful 10 seconds. Right. You know, it's like, what does that mean? It takes 20% of the time off the clock.
Right. The most annoying thing with getting hit with these minor bullets is that it does scatter your power-ups. So you want to grab those back real quick. But the slowdown doesn't seem to be all that useful for navigating like these big storms of bullets coming at you.
Mm-hmm.
I guess is the point I was trying to make. Like I was saying before, the game looks really nice. Really like the transition. The boss fights are pretty cool. There's a boss fight where you have to fight this house on a train.
That's pretty
which is insane. Like this is a game from Grasshopper Manufacturer, one of the developers on it, who is the developer of No More Heroes.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see all just like the wacky, insane DNA all through the game. Like, especially, there's this narrative, but it's told out of order. Like, there's some sort of,
yeah,
like,
you're hopping around.
Yeah.
There's no humans, so I really don't have anyone I'm invested in.
Right, they're all just talking.
I'm an alligator, good for me. I'm a fucking rabbit. All right, wonderful.
Is like, that what that was?
Yeah. Nah, I think it was a water buffalo and a kitten or something.
See? Yeah, who gives a shit?
Right.
But there's that one chick that kept talking with the water buffalo, but I don't know what that was.
I don't know. I would stop trying to make sense of the narrative. And we were actually... very close to the end. We had one more mission after that part.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh, that's pretty quick.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, it's a little shooter game. So I think there's like 6 or 7 chapters, like actual levels, and then you're done. It's like the same as Contra 3. Like, these games are meant to be like score attack type games.
Makes me think that Contra 3 should have had another motorcycle race, like another motorcycle level.
Mm,
that is pretty fun.
We just need more Contra 3. Just more of that game, please.
Yes.
Whatever. How about doing? A game that's nothing but motorcycle levels?
Nah.
I'd it's a bit much.
Yeah.
I think that's Contra 3's genius, is that it really doesn't do too much of the same thing over
right.
and over again. You know, you get your two top-down stages, which are a little funky. You get a lot of, you know, like, the cityscape one is in some ways similar to the blasted out industrial complex level.
I mean, the standard side-scrolling ones?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and then that racing stage is just genius. It's
yeah.
really clever.
But then, you know, you get... Yeah, the motorcycle one where it's kind of an auto scroller.
Maybe one where you're on power surfboards in the sewers, and there's alien like monsters that jump out.
And there's a dude
pizzas
on
floating
an airboat.
In the water.
Yeah.
And yeah, something some sort of maybe some reptiles that do martial arts could be involved.
Yeah,
just a thought.
That sounds like a great game.
Just one thought.
The one thing that I think. Would be cool to see them try and like a Contra 3. So like if Konami ever decided to make more games, is this like a Contra 3? But I don't want to see them like have one or two levels where they go back to like the behind the back, because in
that's
Contra
right.
and Super
yeah.
C they have those
interior
behind
stages.
The back.
Yeah,
those are really cool.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't really have those in Contra 3.
Yeah.
Anyway, but you know, it achieved perfection anyway.
Aren't we supposed to be talking about new games?
Yeah. Fuck it. It's been 7 years. Talk about whatever we want.
Yeah. You know what? I think it's fine.
We've earned it.
Yeah. Every time we approach the game, it's a new experience. So.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Indeed. So I don't think
what
I...
What part do you want to referencing Rain of Fire, then, if we're going to get to our regular...
We're going
to
spend an hour and a half on Rain of Fire at the end here.
Oh, yeah.
So, I don't think there's anything else I want to say about Sinmore. I mean, the game is $30, downloadable or physical. You can get a cartridge. This is pretty cool. I have a cartridge of it.
So for $30, and it seems kind of quick. Like, what are you getting beyond that?
Yeah.
I think if you're really invested in getting like high scores, and because the scoring in the game is pretty difficult. Like,
mm-hmm.
we did run throughs of levels where like, hey, that went pretty well. We did really good.
Yeah,
it's
I don't
like,
think we did anything over E.
Yeah, grade E. That sounds like the lowest
grade,
we could possibly get.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
Go home.
Maybe they measure it based on accuracy or something.
I don't think so. I don't think it's measured on accuracy, but there must just be ways that we can build up combos. Somehow.
We were kind of just grinding through the game, though,
yeah.
quite frankly.
Yeah.
We weren't really looking to be marksmen or pros.
I mean, it would be kind of nice if you could... It would be kind of nice if you could increase the amount of lives that you get, or just turn that off, because
mm-hmm.
you get 9 tries, and then it kicks you back out, and then you have to restart that chapter over again, as opposed to, like, from one of your checkpoints.
So then what's the point of even having them, I guess?
Yeah. The point
well,
is like
you
after
restart the level.
Yeah, after you failed so many times, it's like fuck you failed too many times. Now you got
to
start the.
But
whole.
I mean, if you failed 9 times, like you deserve to start over. You clearly suck.
I guess.
Clearly,
John likes his games handing him wins.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
maybe
most,
should try
most of the time.
Just
yeah.
slam your head against this wall until you break it down.
Right.
How long are the stages? Like they're like what 5 minutes, 10 minutes?
Yeah, something like that.
I don't know.
It's not
I mean,
hard
only,
to get back.
They're 5 minutes if you cut out the War Buffalo talking.
Yeah.
It's not hard to get back to like a checkpoint where you keep dying over and over again. But
are
I mean,
we rooting
not,
for
not,
Water Buffalo? Like, do we? Are they the good guys? I really didn't get a
no,
sense.
No, I have no idea who is. Where should we
I think that alligator is pretty cool.
I don't even. I think he's a lizard.
He's a bongo.
He's like a lizard smoking a cigar.
No.
Doesn't matter. Anyway, we got some other new releases. On October 5th. Stardew Valley came out, as well as Axiom Verge and Earth Atlantis. Oh, on October the 6th, Mario and Luigi, the remake, Superstar Saga, came out. Mario and Luigi plus Bowser's Minions. And I played that one, and I beat it. And, you know, I don't really have much of a reference point to compare it to. I did play the original on the Game Boy Advance, but it had been so long that I'd forgotten almost everything about the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked it. I didn't, like, do everything. I didn't grind through and, like, get everything you can get and do all the little side quests and things like that. But I think, like, the one thing that sticks with me about Mario and Luigi Superstar Saga is those games in general, and this one as well, tend to overstay their welcome a little bit. Like, by the time I get to the end of these games, it's been, like, 25 hours. I'm like, all right, come on, let's get through this. Let's get all to right, the
fine.
End.
Keep Peach.
Right, exactly.
Just keep her.
Just never
wait,
mind.
Peach was dead the whole time?
So, like, and in this game, it was the same case, because you get to, like, Bowser's castle at the end, and you have to go through this boss rush mode where you have to fight all the Koopalings, and none of them are particularly hard. The battles aren't that long, but it's just this gauntlet of, okay, use all of the skills you learned in this last section And it feels a bit like padding. And there's one section of the game that absolutely feels like padding, where you have to basically run around the whole map and dig up these little tchotchkes or little MacGuffins of some sort and like bring them all back to this one guy, and then he gives you the key to get to the next area.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that the game is structured a little clumsily. It could stand to be a bit tighter of an experience because the battles are fun. And in this one, it definitely feels less bloated than some of the Mario and Luigi games can get, because they throw like tons of skills at you they can use in battle. Like, hey, here's this bro's attack, and you have to press all these buttons in a sequence to get through it. This one, there's like maybe a half dozen that you collect throughout the game. And like there's side ones that you can get as well if you choose. But it feels much more that they use these skills more for like the adventuring throughout the map, which is really fun, as opposed to forcing you to use or learn how to use all these things in your battles. So like the battles are really good. Moving throughout the world and using all your different Mario and Luigi skills, like tunneling in the ground or like shrinking each other down to pass through different passages, like all that is really fun. Like using like your spin jumps and your higher jumps to get to different platforms. That's all really good. You know, it's just a little bit too long. The new Leighton game, the name escapes me, Catch Riel and the Millionaire's Conspiracy, I think it's called. The game's a mouthful.
Yeah.
Came out on the 6th as well. Yono and the Celestial Elephant came out on October the 12th.
That sounds like a Beatles song.
Yeah. Maybe it is.
Celestial Elephant.
Wolverblade came out on the 12th. And Wolverblade, that's a game we got to try at some point, because that's a co-op, like, side-scrolling beat 'em up, like a Final Fight.
Okay.
Except you're Vikings and you have gigantic swords.
Really? That's cool. Well, yeah.
Etrian Odyssey 5 came out on the 3DS on the 12th as well. Oceanhorn came out on the Switch the same day. Fire Emblem Warriors came out on the 20th.
Yeah.
And Wes, we've both played this one.
Yeah.
Kick us off. What'd you think?
Let me remember it.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well,
I only played it a little bit.
I'll kick us off then. You chime in whenever you feel like. There are 20 missions total. I am on mission 12. It's also the first mission where I failed. So the game isn't super tough. Yeah, and I was actually surprised when I failed. I was like, I felt like I was doing really well. But there are certain things in the game that you have to manage your time, but it doesn't really give you a ticking clock. So in this particular mission, there were two side characters who were fighting each other, and you had to get to them before one killed the other, I guess, to stop them from fighting. And
that doesn't sound very difficult, because in that game, you could just pretty much just run.
So we'll see. The thing is once you get into the later levels, you have to be conscious of who you're taking into battle with you and what directions you're sending them. Because in order to get to them, let me back up a little bit. How well they're fighting against each other also depends on how much of the map is occupied by their forces backing them up. So you're the blue guys, and there's yellow guys and red guys, and you kind of have to take out the yellow guys and the red guys evenly so that neither is overpowering. So you have to maintain that balance so that neither one is losing too much HP before you can get to them. So the success of your mission depends a lot on who you're taking with you and what direction you're sending them on the map in order to make use of the best weapon advantages. Because it really does matter. You can't send your axe user up against an enemy who uses a sword, they will get wrecked.
Hmm. Of course, because I wouldn't die.
Right. Well, because Fire Emblem, that's the way it works.
I know. That's kind of silly. Is that like lances?
Lances are good against swords, yes. And one of the things is...
You have horses that fly, so...
Yeah, flying horses, yes.
And those are apparently weak to ninjas.
Weak to arrows. Weak to arrows.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it's legit. I've gotten a couple of bow characters, archer characters.
How are they?
They're pretty cool, but they can go up against almost any enemy who is on a Pegasus and take them out in like 3 hits. Like, they legit destroy those enemies. So,
but those same archers, if confronted head on with like an axe guy, they're going to get
They are a bit slower in taking out certain other enemies, especially armored enemies like big knights or great knights.
Now, who are the archers you got though?
The archers are, I believe it's Sakura from Birthright, as well as Tatsumi from Birthright. I think her name was Sakura. Yeah.
Come on.
Nothing. See, the thing is, in the structure of the game, we might as well talk about the characters. You get your original characters first, the guy and the girl. They're both sword users. You get characters from Awakening next. Crom, Cordelia, Lyssa, Frederick. You get those four. There might be another one. Oh, and Robin from Awakening. But Robin so far is not playable. He's just a side character. You can still like give him orders on the battle, but you can't use him.
Which can't is control.
You can't control him because I don't know why. But he's a mage, so it would be kind of nice to actually be able to use a mage. And then the map splits. Like you get you send units on different missions and you start to recruit the characters from Fates. So you get like the four main sibling characters from Birthright and the four main sibling characters from Conquest. So I mean there's tons of characters. Like, and I'm trying to level them up evenly and give them all skills and stuff, because there are certain missions where you don't have a choice but to take certain units, so it is important to keep them all competent in battle. But there are most missions you do get like an option to switch out like four characters. Like there are characters that you can bench and bring up, which is cool, but it makes you have to be mindful of who you're bringing out and where you're going to send them on the battlefield. So there is much more planning involved than there is in Hyrule Warriors.
Yeah, that is, you just pick whoever you want to do and
right, and just start
hacking away.
Yeah, hitting people in the face. And you can just, you really only have the choice but to play as one character throughout the map, but you can play as one character throughout the entire map and take over the entire thing single-handedly. In Fire Emblem, you do have to rely much more on your side characters, especially when these submissions will pop up. It's like, hey, this enemy character is heading toward that base, stop him so he doesn't call in reinforcements. Sometimes you gotta switch to another character in order to take him out really quickly, or send another character after them and they'll be able to take him out. So there's much more of this macro management of the battlefield, where you have to keep in mind where your characters are and what they're doing. You can sort of like bench characters. You can tell them like, hey, you're not going to be useful, so just go to this fort and wait there. Just defend it for a while.
Yeah.
Because you're just going to get in the way. Just go sit in the corner. if you don't give specific instructions to, like, no, you wait here,
they'll wander off and start trying to find a fight.
They'll go after your main objective.
Oh.
So
that can be troublesome.
Yeah. It usually won't get you into a situation where you have to speed things along in order to rescue them. Like, so you really won't lose out on too many side objectives. But you know, I like to be thorough. And I like to take over every base and every outpost and kill a lot of enemies. And it does keep you moving in a forward direction just by having them do what they want. And I like to be a little bit more meticulous.
Do you feel like it's kind of the same thing that this type of game has always had, like even like with the Dynasty Warriors things, yeah, or whatever, where it's like there's so many characters and it's kind of fun in a shallow way, but then you realize that it's just like all of these things are just the same.
See, like, the thing,
character designs, they don't do anything different. You know, you kill 20 at a time, and they just all kind of have the exact same fumble and fold animation.
Yeah, it's true. Like, all of the enemy drones. And I find myself much less in this game. Like, in Hyrule Warriors, I like to go around and just plow through all these enemy drones. In this game, I do that less, and I just kind of go after the main ones and big hordes of enemy. But, you know, if I see, like, a group of, like, a dozen or 20 enemies, like, you're just standing there. I'm not going to bother with you. I ignore you.
You go right for the heroes.
Right. And the thing with this, as opposed to, like, Hyrule Warriors, is Hyrule Warriors had a zaniness to it. Like, Hyrule Warriors was okay with just being weird. Yeah. Like, Agatha, the bug girl from Twilight Princess, was in the game.
Oh, yeah, I forget about that.
And there were Gorons and Zoras and the mage, like, mage characters and Impa. Like, these characters that had these weird abilities and combos Whereas in Fire Emblem, it is important to know what weapons they're using and what weapons they're using against their enemies, but most everyone behaves similarly. If you're playing a sword character, their combos are going to be slightly different, but if I know with any sword character or any character in general, if I press a weak, weak, strong attack, then I'm going to do an attack that has a wide area of effect. So it's a good way of plowing through a bunch of enemies that are just in the way. Or if I do a triple weak, then strong attack, I'm usually going to do an attack that that breaks down an enemy's shield. Because every enemy has like a stamina bar, their shield. And if you expose it and whittle it down, you do a super strong attack against them. It's a good way of taking out like strong enemies quickly.
Yeah, so Hyrule Warriors is more focused on like character design and everything like that. Where Fire Emblem is more focused on the overall
strategy
of the game. Yeah, you gotta know what's going on. You gotta stay conscious of the field. You need to control multiple people at once.
Mm-hmm. Which is cool.
Yeah.
I really like that strategy element to it, but I also do miss just the weirdness of Hyrule Warriors, because it does make you want to play as different characters, whereas in Fire Emblem Warriors, I'm like, okay, I need a guy with a bow. Who's just the closest one? Okay, you. Let's go. And one of the things is, it seems to be very heavy on swords and axes. I only have two characters that can use lances so far, and they're both Pegasus Knights. Which are fun characters to use, but they're also very strange. Because
they
feel weird,
they're like kind of
floating
around with their attacks.
And you get into a lot of aerial attacks, which is cool when you're taking on a strong boss, but if you get stuck in these aerial combos and can't get back on the ground, we're just fighting hordes of enemies, you're like, okay, how do I break out of this? Because now I'm hitting no one and I just need to move on. Overall, I like it. I'm going to keep playing it. I think it'd be, at some point, you know, once I get that pro controller, we're going to try some more co-op on hard mode, because I think that might be a fun challenge to try to work through. Because, you know, on normal mode, I did fail the one mission because I wasn't managing my time correctly. But as long as you're playing your weapon alignments, no enemy is really too much of a challenge. Mm. Two more games to go through. Knights of Azure 2 came out on the 27th, and Super Mario Odyssey came out on the 27th as well.
That was a big deal.
Yeah, it's a pretty big deal. And again, Wes, you played some.
Yeah.
And you played some tonight.
That's the time of recording here.
That game is wonderful.
Yeah.
That's a lot of fun.
You played through, oh god, I forget the name of the kingdom, but it was
the wooden kingdom.
Yeah, and there's like the big fortress you gotta scale your way up.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
I like the look of it.
Yeah.
It looks really fun, and it's very easy to grasp how you're moving around and everything.
Yeah, it's true. That's a really good point, is as soon as you are in the game, like, okay, this button does this, and I understand immediately, like, this is Mario.
It only took me just a second to adjust to how far he was jumping and the depth perception of everything. I'm like, all right, this is an easy platform. This is no big deal.
And it does have a lot of the feel of Mario 64, where it's like, okay, what's that over there? Let's go get it.
I mean, even the moons that you collect even had names on the moons.
Yeah.
Like, they did have the stars in Super Mario. You talk to a parrot, he gave you a hint. I'm like, oh, that's like the star in Super Mario when you go in a painting. That's your hint to go find that particular star. Mm-hmm. That's fantastic.
Then you do have, when you first enter these kingdoms, as you unlock them, you do have like these main objectives. You have to, usually the first main objective is to get to this one area so you can engage in a boss battle with these evil rabbit wedding planners.
Of course.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when I'm playing a wedding,
as a plumber would do,
I gotta have rabbits wearing suits and top hats.
Who plan weddings for dinosaurs, interspecies weddings.
Of course.
For dinosaurs.
Yeah. Hey, welcome to the future.
But, like just the amount of different silly objectives throughout the game, like, I guess we're getting into some minor spoiler territory here, but There was a mission in there, or like a little objective where you had to like stack up this Goomba totem to go talk to this lady Goomba.
And she was like all happy when you got up there. She's like, oh, look at that. Oh, I declare. Oh, look at you.
She's like a Southern Belle Goomba wearing a big hat. And yeah, just get a moon for it.
I believe I'm getting the vapors.
we're still pretty early on. Like, the first kingdom, the first area is like a tutorial area, and I didn't realize until later on that there's like a bunch of different moons in just the initial tutorial. And then you get sent into like this waterfall area, which is pretty cool. That's where you get to possess the T-Rex for the first time. And then moves you over to the sand area. But from there, you get like to choose. You get to branch off. Because if you want to like enter a new or unlock a new section, you have to collect a certain amount of moons.
As a means to power your ship.
Right.
Because your ship runs on moons.
Sure.
And it's a hat.
Like, you know, like most spaceships do.
Yeah, they run on moons.
But what did you think of like the whole capture mechanic, the big new gimmick?
I think that's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Because the first thing I ever possessed was that little Deku scrub.
Right. The little,
I don't know what that was.
The second like get the big stilts.
Yeah, he grows legs and then he.
And you have to fight a boss battle as that thing, which is crazy.
That's fantastic. And then, you know, after all that, I'm wandering around and I'm like, oh no, it's a tank. I better blow it up with my, you know, kill it with my hat. Possess a tank.
Oh no, you get to be
the tank. No, I'm now the tank. That's oh that was
and you get like a stupid mustache.
Yeah, the tank on the oh, that was great.
But yeah, and like the tank, I guess there's like a little section where you have to take out a bunch of enemies of the tank. And there's like a little, I guess, a mini boss fight that you have to use like play as the tank. Not really like a named boss or anything, it's just like this big fan.
Yeah, to take out shooting
boulders or something.
Yeah, they're like chain chomps without the chain.
Yeah.
No.
Oh yeah, yeah. I know what you mean. But like, just the stupid, crazy ideas that just like from the first three levels.
The game reminds me so much of Super Mario 64.
Yeah.
It's they just took so much from that game and made it wonderful.
And they've really nailed the whole arena. Like arena to explore, because like in Mario 64, like especially compared to this in retrospect, it's pretty limited areas, but in this one, it definitely also takes a note from Breath of the Wild, and it just gives you these big areas and has all like these little hints or little flourishes where you're like, okay, let's go see what that's about, and that'll take you down this rabbit hole of okay. Well, there's this moon that I can get, and there's this moon that I could get that can possess a bullet bill and fly around.
It's great, because so many games that you play, you're like, I'm here, I'm doing this, let's go kill this guy, moving on. But in this game, you just gotta explore, that's all it is. They're like, hey, welcome, go look around.
Right, and they make it really fun. And they make it really fun to do. Like, I don't have a problem with a game that's just like, okay, there's your objective, go get it.
Yeah.
Like, that's fine. But they really nail in Breath of the Wild and this game that...
They reward you for exploring.
Yeah, they lure you into that exploring and then and reward you for it. Like, you're playing through this section where you possessed a rocket ship and flew off to this very heavily fogged area. And you had to possess a flying Goomba.
Yeah.
And you had to fly around.
Yeah.
And
that was great.
And instead of like doing like this traditional platform, because like you're on this series of blocks that you have to fly around, and instead of like taking you down this path, what they end up doing is they lure you with coins to take you underneath it. And when you got to the end, when you got to the last one, you're like, oh look, I found that by accident. And did you? Or did they lead you right to it but made you think you were exploring? Because it's a really neat trick that they pulled off there. And you just end up right back restarting it to leave. One of the things that a lot of people talk about is that when you're playing this game, you don't get kicked out every time you find a moon, which is
great.
Could you imagine? Because they're scattered around everywhere. Like
great. Like you're flipping through them. Like the tutorial's got like 16 of them. The other one had like 20 something. And then we took it to this Wooden Kingdom. It's like 69 moons. Go fuck yourself.
There are 70 of these damn things. You're welcome.
It's, holy hell.
No wonder they're not releasing a game in November for the Switch.
We don't need to.
Right. Well, God, because between this and Fire Emblem, like, no, I'm
still bumped. Breath of the Wild.
Well, yeah, it's true. Well, see, and they reconfirmed, like, the Breath of the Wild DLC, like, the last DLC pack for this year, which is supposed to be, like, the story sequence. Like, so it was, like, some more narrative focus. So...
We also haven't mentioned the other one that just came out.
Go on.
The Knights of Azure 2.
Oh, you looking it up?
Bride of the New Moon. Oh, man, I'm looking it up. This is the fan serviest thing I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah.
Look at this shit.
Yeah,
they're like in bikinis the entire time.
They just released that trailer, and I didn't quite realize the game was quite that fan servicey. Yeah. And I also thought it was more of I hadn't really read too much about this game, but I also thought it was more of like a traditional RPG, but it's more like an action RPG.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, I'm gonna go buy a Switch.
It's kind of action.
Like, what is this game?
It's a Tecmo Koei. Or Koei Tecmo, I believe they're called now. Hmm. It's like just like a like an action game. Like
Very few reviews actually on Amazon.
Like, do you like chicks? Do you like bikinis? Then you're gonna love this one.
Yeah, well, I mean, people say like nobody is basically saying like I love these big hoots. They're like, what a great game. They're saying, you know, it's they like the action. They really like the actual gameplay, and you know, they think the apparently there's people care about the story in this one.
Yeah,
oh, great.
There's nothing lower than 4 stars review wise.
It's 5 reviews total.
Oh, never mind.
So you can't really. It's 4 or 5 star reviews in one form. Maybe this is on other platforms, right?
I believe it's also PS4.
It might be
probably Steam.
It might be more popular on other platforms.
Yeah, well, the original one.
This one just came out.
Knights of Azure 1 was on PS4 originally, and then they're bringing the sequel to Switch as well. But, you know. I really feel bad for that game because it's sandwiched right in between Mario and Fire Emblem. Like,
yeah, so it's not going to get much traction.
Yeah, sorry, it sucks for you guys. Like, if they release this one, like, in January, they'd probably get a lot more attention.
Yeah.
I never heard of this game.
True. I'd never heard of the franchise until they announced a sequel for Switch. I was like, a Switch game. Yeah, let's see what this is all about. Because, like, 5 months ago, I thought maybe we'd be hurting for Switch games to talk about. Like, no, that is absolutely not the case.
Yeah, we're going
to
keep it busy. No, like, you know, it's a big tentpole Mario release that's going to keep you busy.
Yeah. Do we want to say anything else about Mario Odyssey? We pretty well covered, like, the initial
I'm sure we'll be talking about it again.
Yeah. So yeah, it's certainly
going to be coming up multiple shows from now.
Yeah.
Just whenever we get a little bit more in, you go, hey, look at that.
Mm-hmm.
We gotta talk about the city. We've been there very briefly.
Yeah, we found a portrait to go into New Donk City, and it just brought us into like this one tiny little section of it. Grabbed a moon, and it's like, okay, you're done here.
Get out.
Yeah, because there's paintings that transport you to different kingdoms. I believe they're called. I think I'm running out of things to talk about because we've only played for like 4 hours. But it looks really nice. It's a really nice looking game.
A lot of different costumes.
Yep. Oh, there's so many different costumes. I bought... what have I bought? I bought this one that's like a... think of like the worst possible Lakers mascot. And yes, it is a dude in a three-piece suit and a top hat.
Yeah.
That is kind of like Two-Face's suit, but purple and gold.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's awesome. I, of course, bought that one. And I bought the sombrero and poncho, which is
Do these do anything? They just change their look.
That just changed how you, as far as I know, so far, it only changes how you look. It's purely aesthetic, as far as I know. But the aesthetic also changes in like these 2D sections that you have to go through. Because that's something we can touch on. Because there are these sections where you enter a warp pipe, and it's kind of like a Link Between Worlds where you become this graphic on a wall. And it's 8-bit Mario. And you go through these sections where...
And it's the old Mario, which one from that one is?
Super Mario Brothers Mario, yeah. and the costume you are wearing will also reflect.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
I didn't know because you were wearing just regular Mario
to normal gear. But yeah, if you're wearing the sombrero and poncho, you will be 8-bit Mario with sombrero and poncho. That's awesome. I want to get the scientist costume. That's what I want to go for next.
Oh, like Dr. Mario?
I'm not sure what his hat is.
Ooh.
But, like, there's also Explorer Mario. You could also just buy a pair of boxer shorts for 1,000 gold. That's the most expensive piece of gear I've seen yet.
Yeah. No, they're probably silk.
Yeah, probably. He's probably going commando right now.
That's true.
He's like, oh, fine, I'll put them on.
But they seem to be doing a little bit of experimenting with even the 2D sections because I encountered one or two of these puzzles where you have, like, reversing gravity, where, you know, the bottom half of this section is blue and the top half is red, and when you cross the threshold, gravity reverses. In the section, you're upside down.
Hmm.
It's pretty cool.
They got a lot of mechanics to it, and they do all of them very well.
Yep. Hmm. So let's take a break and then come back with new releases for November.
John's now drinking a beer.
Oh, we're both getting drunk now. We're in the
All right, stretch. We're going to get riggedy wrecked. It's going to be a fun one.
All right, Wes. We got new releases.
Oh, all right, right.
That's all right. I'll vamp for a minute.
Dear first, phone, where are you?
First up is going to be... We're not going to read the Nintendo description for all these. We're
just
doing it half the time.
Mystery Journey. Millionaire.
I think I only have two up. Yeah, I only have two up.
Oh, that's right, because we couldn't find the last one.
No, we can't find
that. That's okay, We're just going to do two games. They're both actually 3DS games. The first one is Mario Party, the top 100.
What does that mean?
So I'm guessing it's all the mini games?
Right. This one's coming out to the 3DS on November the 10th.
Huh. All right. With 100 mini games, it's the ultimate Mario Party. Ever partied with Mario?
That guy can party.
Stuffed mouthfuls of pizza, dodge penguins... Well, the party is back with the top 100 minigames in Mario Party series history. Test your memory, speed, and luck in a variety of multiplayer minigame types. With download play, up to 4 players can party on their own system with just one game card. This time, the fun comes faster thanks to some fresh features, including a favorites option for quicker minigame selection and streamlined instructions. Start playing, and pretty soon you'll find there's only enough room for the best at this fun fest. That was it. That's it.
Is that bullet points?
No bullet points.
Oh, wow.
That was very quick, though.
I was
hoping that one. It's a 3DS thing. I don't care about bullet points with that.
Yeah, they're kind of phoning this in. Like, they've released a lot of Mario Party games with 3DS. I think this is like the third one.
Oh, the next game doesn't even have bullet points either.
Mm. Oh, weird. Oh, my God. They realized what we were doing?
And they're like, shit, we got change.
That's a pretty cool idea, though. That's actually a clever twist on it, I feel like, since they've got so much history with the Mario Party series. Mm-hmm. And it probably would be fun for people to go back and read.
When was the last time Mario Party came out?
It was, I think, last year on the 3DS.
Really?
Yeah, they've done all of these Mario Party handheld games. And I think there might have been one on the Wii U. I mean, if they do a Mario Party Switch game and there's not a whole lot else coming out around it, which seems unlikely at this point, but I mean, I could go for a Mario Party console, home console game. It's been forever since we've done one of those.
Mm-hmm. You need more controllers then.
Yeah, it's true. Gonna need a couple of pro controllers.
Yeah.
Gonna get pricey. So next game up, Batman: A Telltale Game Series is coming to Switch on the 14th of November. L.A. Noir is coming to the Switch on the 14th as well. And Rime, which is an indie game, coming to the Switch on the 14th. I think the physical version of that was delayed because they were doing a physical game for the Switch for that, but the digital one's going to be on the 14th.
That game looks weird.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of reminds me, from what I've seen, of Ico.
Yeah.
Kind of like this adventure game, but more of like a Skyward Sword sort of pastel-y art style.
When I was looking for a new game and stumbled across Battle Chasers, I was looking at Ryan before that, and I was like, this looks a little more than I want. This is just a lot of crap going on at once.
Have you played more Battle Chasers?
I haven't played any more, no.
Okay.
Why?
I want to hear more.
You want to hear more?
Because that game looks super cool.
Oh no, I did play more. I picked up the other two characters, wizard and the rogue thief chick.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Person. I haven't I found them and I played with the wizard. He is very interesting. He's kind of supportive and he can deal some pretty good damage. But it seems like you're either going to have him or the robot in your party because they both have healing spells. And so there's not really a whole lot of reason to have both of them unless you just want a ton of heals. The rogue chick, she showed up in the story and I think she is selectable, but I haven't figured out how to switch my party yet with that. So I haven't been able to use her yet.
So wait, is it a three-person
party, and now I have five characters.
So you use the wizard, though. So
I use the wizard.
So does someone automatically get switched out on you?
It came to a point where it gave me the option to switch out itself. They're like, hey, he's joined or whatever, go to this area, you want to switch your dudes? All right, cool. So I switched out the soldier guy for the wizard. So I had the wizard, the girl with the big gauntlets, and the robot. The wizard does some pretty cool stuff, and I also unlocked a second overdrive ability for all my characters. So, like, the robot has, like, the healing, and now he deals more damage, and the wizard has, like, a heavy damage spell, and then he has, like, a mass heal.
Is it, like, a second tier that you have to build up even more?
Yeah, it loads up even more. Mm. So, it unlocked a second bit of it.
So, you have to fill out the entire second one to use that.
Yes.
Next one. Does it use both? Like, does it deplete your entire gauge?
I don't think so. So I think if I use a first spell, if I had two bars, I think it would just burn one.
Okay.
If I've used the second one, it'll burn both.
Gotcha.
I think it would be something like that.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. But it's very weird. The wizard has some interesting perks and everything with him, but he's kind of tricky to use. You need to actually pay attention to his magic mirror and everything, because he gets overcharged very low at times, only like 5, and his spells cost like 20. Mm-hmm. And so you gotta be careful about how you're doing it, but one of his perks is he carries over 10 from the last battle, which isn't something that happens.
Oh,
so cool. If you have like 10 overcharge and you end the battle, you'll keep that 10 and you'll keep going.
Wait, so it was overcharge that gauge that builds up? Or is
overcharge, certain abilities, like there's the attacks and there's abilities. And if you use certain attacks, like the robot, for instance, has one where it's called gut punch. You'll go up and punch him in the gut. And he'll cause the guy to be inflicted with sunder, so he takes 50% more damage from physical hits.
Hmm.
But it also will give him 10 overcharge. And when you use an ability, it will burn through the overcharge before it'll burn into your mana. So it's like gaining mana to use.
By doing damage.
So you could go through a whole fight without touching your MP, but you've used abilities and everything. It's just a matter of managing when to attack and create overcharge and when to use abilities.
Yeah, that's awesome. That makes you think about the things that you're doing in order to use your extra skills. It gives you incentive to mix it up.
Yeah. It's really cool. And a lot of those regular abilities do extra stuff to it. Like the soldier guy has one where he'll go in and deal less damage than his... He has two... Everybody's got multiple attacks. They unlock, like, abilities. So you have, like... The robot's got, like, 6 of them or something like that. All of them do. But the soldier's got 2 main ones. One hits really hard, and one will hit less, give him more overcharge, and inflict bleed on them. So they take more damage on their turn. And so you gotta weigh when to do what.
Sure.
The battle mechanic is really cool in that game.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that one. That game's going to be really cool when it comes to Switch. But back to the 3DS.
You mean if at this point?
Was that?
You mean if? They say it's coming.
Did you mean to say it? Say
Ryan? Well, no, not really. Did you look up Ryan?
Looks gorgeous.
Yeah.
It does look really good. It's a good little cartoon.
I like that style of adventure game. Like, mm-hmm. where it's a lot of like exploration and some platforming type of adventuring.
Yeah.
There's just so many other games. Like, this one will go on an Amazon wish list.
And yeah, it'll get back like to it one day. It's probably a very pretty cerebral experience.
Yeah.
It's not going to be, you know.
This game looks like a really nice palate cleanser in between, like, really long RPGs, you know?
Well, here's a weird comparison, but I noticed there's this little fox that you're kind of, like, following around. This pretty much happens in a great episode of The Simpsons where Homer eats the insanity peppers.
Are those exactly what they sound like?
Yeah, they're Guatemala. They're insanity peppers from Quetzaltenaca. So Homer's playing up this big game that he's good at crushing chili, and he is. But then the it's one of the but it's probably one of the five best episodes they've ever done. It's such a good episode. But Chief Wiggum gets these insanity peppers, which are the hottest peppers in the world, and also make you go hallucinate.
Right.
Homer ends up going on this crazy trip in the desert, which is animated like you wouldn't believe. It's so psychedelic. It totally you're experiencing him tripping. And he has this fox who is, by the way, voiced by Johnny Cash.
Oh. Well, shit.
Giving him essentially what amounts to life advice. Like, because he had this big fight with Marge, because Marge is upset because he keeps making a drunken ass of himself at these chili events.
Right.
And so he's basically trying to say that, you know, Marge is the most important person in your life. Don't fuck this up. It's so great.
Because like every week he's something. Yeah. It's the same thing he's overcoming. Don't fuck this up.
But he's like, he's wandering through this desert, you know, and he has to ascend this pyramid. And like, he comes out of it eventually, and he wakes up, and he's in a sand trap on a golf course. And he's like, oh, so this was, I was just in the sand trap. And then he's like, oh, and that pyramid was just the golf store. And there's this giant pyramid with a golf store at the top of it. And he's like, oh, and the fox was just this dog. And the dog says, find your soulmate, Homer. And he's like, what? It's just like, but that's kind of what this reminds me of. It's like you're going on this like psychedelic trip with this fox who's just showing you around this gorgeous, golf resort.
Hey, they have a rhyme Joy-Con.
Yeah.
It's white with orange buns.
Would you look at that, huh? Look at that. Pretty sweet. So this hasn't come out yet?
No, not until the 14th.
Looks cool. Apparently it's on all the other platforms too. It's on.
Yeah, I got this mixed up. This was not what I was looking at with Battle Chasers. This is something else.
No.
I don't think this is out anywhere else.
What? Rhyme?
Is it?
Yeah, Rhyme came out, I think, this summer on other platforms. Switch version got delayed.
So. Alright, maybe not. I don't know. I don't want to fucking talk about
it. I'm confident that the version of Battle Chasers will come to the Switch, because there have been multiple independent developers who have released games on Switch that were also released on their platforms that come out and say, like, the Switch version sold better than every other version we've done combined.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an audience for indie games on Switch that buys a ton of games,
mm-hmm.
which is great. That's going to lead to continued support and more stuff for the backlog. So, Wes, Pokemon Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon.
Oh, yeah.
Take us away.
Dear phone, we're...
Yeah.
A new light shines on the Alola region. A new light shines on the Alola region.
Yes! One new light shines on the Alola region.
Take on the role of a Pokemon trainer and unravel the mystery behind the legendary Pokemon Necrozma's two new forms, Duskbane Necrozma in the Pokemon Ultra Sun game and Dawnwing's Necrozma in Pokemon Ultra Moon game. A brand new showdown awaits. New Pokemon forms have been discovered in the Alola region. A legendary Pokemon Necrozma has transformed into two new forms. Duskbane Necrozma.
No.
Took over Solgaleo in Pokemon Ultra Sun.
Just because they're not using bullet points doesn't mean they haven't stopped using them. It's clear that they just fucked up the ending
and
of
Dawnwing's Necrozma, who took over Lunala in Pokemon Ultra Moon, head out on an epic journey as a Pokemon trainer and solve the mystery behind these fascinating Pokemon. Explore more of the Alola region, catch more amazing Pokemon, and battle more mobile phones in Pokemon Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon.
That's it?
That was it.
Ah, so short.
So is there any news about it? Like, what the hell is going to happen?
It's an enhanced version, which, you know, is cool.
What
are
cool. you saying? What's
like
it going to be? I don't
new,
know.
There's new areas that you can explore. They've shown, like, a little beach where you can fight some surfers or some shit.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, extra routes, but the progression of the game seems to follow the same narrative.
I think you now surf on Mantine.
Great.
Is that a thing? I think. I could be wrong.
Oh, like an extra, like,
Pokemon
ride? Oh, maybe that'll open up some new things. I mean,
that'd be cool if they just gave you other options for your traditional rides. Like, your flyer could be any number of flyers.
I
want to
be carried by a Hypno.
Oh, wouldn't that be?
Yeah.
Oh. The Hit was only like 4 feet tall, but still, he's carrying.
That would be even funnier. Yeah. You're bigger than him, and he's just trying to carry your ass.
Get your fucking Geodude to drag you.
Oh, he could. What he could do, and this would be so creepy and intense. He could, like, in one hand have his clock thing, and in the other just be, like, levitating your body. Just, like, not holding you upright, but just, like, keeping you suspended in the air.
Yeah. Know? Yeah, yeah.
Well, I'd be about that. That'd be pretty cool.
Or like a Darmanitan.
Yeah.
Be down for that.
He'd probably light you on fire.
Yeah, it's fine. Worth it.
Or no. Golem. You can just be rolling around. You could be on the top of them, just kind of like...
Oh, yeah. Just
kind of run around with the try not to fall. Yeah, it's sort of like, your Tauros. Yeah, that'd be good.
Uh-huh. That'd be great.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
You should work for Game Freak.
I should. Game Freak. I know you're listening.
Mm. Hire me. They are listening.
Hire me.
But yeah, I mean...
I have no experience.
Like, I would like to play through Sun, Moon again.
Yeah. Again, it just feels a little too soon for me, quite frankly.
Yeah.
I really want to play these games, but, I mean...
If it wasn't, like, $40, I haven't want to play these games.
I haven't really... I haven't really indulged in, like, the... Because this is, like, the third version. This is, like, the Pokemon Crystal to Gold Silver, or the Pokemon Emerald.
And they came out with two versions this time.
Right.
Which is stupid.
I wonder why they did that. Like, I don't think it serves any sort of function. If you're going to do, like, an enhanced third version like this, just do one. I'll probably get it at some point. I just haven't completely decided if I'm going to get it immediately or not. You know? Mm-hmm. Cause
I'll wait till you tell me if it's worth getting.
Okay.
I'll probably get it. I just don't know if I'll play it.
Like, yeah.
I mean, I definitely...
I'll buy it and put it on my shelf and never touch it again.
Well, not never touch it, but just like immediately. Like,
yeah.
I don't know, who knows when I'm going to get the wild hair in my ass and be like, yes, now I'm playing. I want to play this right now. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to spend, you know, fucking 10 hours that week playing it.
Yeah.
Or if it'll just be sort of like...
Because it would be cool to play through the 7th gen again. Like,
yeah,
because we haven't done a run through of that since last winter.
I did another one.
Oh, that's right, because we were gonna try to do that Alolan run, and then you guys were like, nah.
Yeah.
And you just did your own run anyway.
I did another run anyways, but
how far did you get?
Where the hell am I? I just beat the electric one.
Okay.
So and then I got sidetracked by Silver, so
right.
Then I started playing Silver.
Right. Mm-hmm. How far are you in that? How far have you guys gotten in?
I am on...
We'll get into, like, bigger
details. I'm surfing around.
Okay.
I'm surfing around and getting to the island.
Oh, okay. Over to Cyanwood?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm on the 5th gen right now. I made a little bit of progress, but not that much. It's like, one extra gen. I know you've already said that you...
I went a little crazy here.
The thing that's taking me so long is I'm trying to, like, fucking Golbat. I mean, it still hasn't evolved to
something. Trying
bitch.
To get some friendly evolution there,
yeah. I hate that guy.
Yeah.
It is a little rougher with without that soothe bell.
Oh, it's so tough.
Yeah, you could just go fight some wild Pidgey.
I mean, I've given that guy like 13 haircuts and he's still not happy with me.
No,
those
haircuts are so worthless. Don't even bother.
I'm still doing it. I mean, I have so much money. Who cares? I mean,
that's like plus three
they're
happiness.
They're not gonna
that's
hurt.
Not even,
it's not gonna hurt.
It's not even worth the time it takes to go get one. Just go fight three battles. It does the same thing. But yeah, just go beat up a bunch of level 2 Pidgeys. Spend an hour grinding that.
I was gonna say, I'm looking it up right now, like, the best bike path in Pokemon Silver. Like,
yeah,
find a good bike path. I know it sucks, but that's the way to do it.
Like, put on a movie, which I did rent Wonder Woman the other day.
What did you think of that movie?
Oh, that's right, they have a giant bike path that auto scrolls you.
But that's in Kanto.
Yeah, that's in Kanto.
Oh, this is in Kanto?
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, Route 16 and 17.
Yeah, that's not good.
What do you think of Wonder Woman?
I didn't finish it.
Really?
I got kind of bored.
With Wonder Woman?
Yeah.
Same way, man. I didn't get bored with it. I just didn't... I started, well, I got maybe like...
I wasn't invested in it. Like, I wasn't like rooting for them in the end. Like,
here's the thing. I thought that the Wonder Woman character, kind of one-dimensional.
Yeah.
She wants...
Very, very plain.
She wants one thing to go kill that guy. And throughout the entire movie, she's just playing that one note over and over again. I gotta go kill that guy. Okay. I mean, what else do you want in life? Like, you're in this new world and you're discovering all
this
stuff.
You have cake? You want to try cake?
Yeah.
Come on.
Have you ever had an orange? There's so much for you to, like, there's so much to do with your character here.
I definitely thought you were going to say something else other than orange.
What?
I don't know.
Okay. I don't know. The whole movie, like, I found the premise of the movie silly. I found... The character silly and one-dimensional. Like, I wasn't mad at it. It's harmless.
It's fine.
Yeah, wasn't for me.
It's a DC movie, so.
I mean, it's true. It did not make me angry, so there's that.
DC does nothing. It's
best DC movie. I was not pissed off.
Like, Justice League is coming out, and yeah. I don't care.
Yeah.
At all.
But New Mutants, though.
Yes, oh, New Mutants looks good.
That's so fucking cool.
That looks really good.
I mean, the New Mutants trailer.
Creepy as hell.
Yeah, but I don't think it did a very good job of actually setting up what the movie is going to be about. Like, it doesn't really set up a plot very well. It really is kind of like a fan service-y trailer or teaser because, like, hey, here's all the characters. Here's Cannonball, and here's Sunspot, and here's Ileana, and here's Daniel Moonstar. So it's cool that they're showing all these characters, but if you don't know anything about New Mutants, you're probably like, okay, well, who is that? Who's that chick with the bangs and the blonde hair? I don't know who that is.
Is that Cannonball, the guy who's got like 13 kids?
No, siblings.
Siblings. Oh, okay.
Yeah. As far as I know, he doesn't have any children. But he was the older brother in Stranger Things, the actor. He and the New Mutants trailer, he was wearing the baseball cap. Hmm. You didn't see much of him. You mostly see Danielle Moonstar, and that she was the one who the creepy doctor was talking to and had like the mask, the breathing mask and stuff. Mm-hmm. Ileana was the blonde with the bangs.
Huh. Which, by the way, Stranger Things just came out yesterday.
Yeah.
Or what, like 2 days ago, maybe?
Yesterday. Season 2? Yeah. Have you watched any of it?
Nope. I really want to, but...
I still haven't seen season 1.
Pretty cool.
Are you kidding me? You probably really I haven't like seen anything of Stranger Things.
You probably like it a lot. Do you have a Netflix account?
I do.
Then what's holding you back, man? What are you watching on Netflix right now?
You know what you need to do? You need to turn on Stranger Things and
yes.
put
and.
And
get my GoBot to evolve.
Right. Perfect.
Bike around.
This will be great.
Super easy.
Yeah. But yeah, like I know some people that already like watched the whole thing.
Oh yeah.
Just show some
Oh
show
yeah,
some
this
composure.
Is a thing now. When especially with like Netflix, it's a
it's
forget what it's called. It's something racing.
What?
Yeah, it's
binge watching.
People are racing to finish full seasons of shows when they come out.
Why?
Like, whenever like a new game comes out, people tend to race to see who can beat it first.
Yeah.
Now it's like binge watching.
I
can
consume art faster than you can.
Like that's what it is. Like who can finish Stranger Things season 2 the quickest?
I don't know if it's like with Mario Odyssey, it's like a competition, but I've seen like a few people like on Twitter and stuff that have like posted screenshots of the credits rolling. Like, hey, beat the game. Which, goddamn, like, and there's plenty more to do. Like. There's like most Mario games, there's a minimum number of moons you need to get before you're able to get to the end. But geez, like, take your time. My goodness.
Enjoy the game.
Right.
Yeah.
Sheesh. Well, it's like, you know.
I'm sure they had a great time playing through the game and getting to the credits. I'm sure most people who have gotten to the credits are going to go back and get more stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But my goodness.
Well, no,
that is goddamn quick. It was like the day after it came out.
Well, my buddy that has already watched through everything, that's what kind of sucks about it, is now he has watched it and he wants to talk about it.
Yeah.
But he can't talk about it because
like,
he's going to spoil it. I told him, don't tell me a damn thing about it.
Right.
So, good for you on enjoying it. When I'm done watching the show, we can talk about it.
Yeah.
It's going to be like that kid in the mall when the Harry Potter book 6 came out. He skipped to the end right after the midnight release. Got his book, skipped to the end, started running around, stay, kill some of the toast,
yeah, that was
great. It's gonna be like that.
Yeah. No, but it's just like, now you have done it, good for you, suppress all of this within you. When the rest of us have caught up, we'll talk about it.
That reminds me, back when that book came out, I think we were both hanging out, I can't remember, we're at a friend's place, and someone had just mentioned that they bought the Harry Potter book, and you made a joke. It's like, oh man, isn't it messed up how Dumbledore dies?
Oh yeah.
And it turned out to be, and the dude, whoever you said it to, was so pissed off, and you're like, well, I don't actually know. I haven't read it. And then someone like totally threw you under the bus, was like, oh yeah, that is actually what happens.
Well, then they shouldn't have said anything.
Right, they should have kept their mouth shut. That's
like you and the Han Solo.
Right, like, well, yeah. I,
well,
Well, that's like, where I got the idea, just to like try to spoil things without actually knowing.
Somebody's
what
probably gonna die. Like right, no one freaking lives forever.
Right. Well, like, yeah, a long enough timeline.
Yeah,
and everyone's survival rate drops to zero.
Yeah. Well, one of us is gonna come back though. Take all of us through the rapture. This is gonna be great. You guys are ready. Actually, oh my god, this is such a weird thing. Somebody has this thing online. It's called pet. It's like pet care after the rapture.
Okay. And I was, you know what? I see where this is going, and good for them.
They're seeking volunteers because okay, you get where this is going, right?
Yeah. Where,
so the rapture occurs, and all the Christians get taken off the earth. But their point of view is like, only the Christians are leaving. Everyone else is gonna be
What's
here.
What's gonna happen to their pets?
And who's gonna look after their pets?
Yeah.
You know, even though the Pope says that pets go to heaven. So I think if we are Christians, and
only Christian pets though.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. Or like all animals gonna go.
Wait, do I have to baptize my dog now?
I mean, it wouldn't hurt. But yeah, you know, they're seeking volunteers, and then they are seeking $10 donations. Which means
no, like they should totally turn that into a business. Like, yeah, after the rapture, I will take care of your dog.
That is so funny.
I'll come to your house and feed your cat. Because cats go straight to hell. I think that's a fact.
Oh yeah, I think.
At that point, why don't they just take the cat? They're not gonna leave the cat at the house, like in case you come back.
Well, you know, you gotta see if you like the cat first. The cat clearly hates you because cats hate everything.
Cats.
They love one thing and murdering. Is that one thing? That is really what gets a cat happy in life, is when it knows that it's snuffing the life of something. They're godless killing machines.
Right. There's a lot of cat Pokemon. Pokemon Sun and Moon is coming out.
That's true. And all of them are useless.
Well, there's even Tora cat. The new starter.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm. Freaking cat. Yeah,
right and, yeah.
But they intentionally make him kind of pussies, like, pun intended, I guess. Like, Leopard.
Yeah, Leopard. Delcatty.
Delcatty sucks.
Meowth.
Yeah. Persian's okay, though. Especially those first two gens of Persian.
My nephew started over in Pokemon Sun because he wanted to play with the grass starter, his name.
Rowlet.
Yeah, Rowlet. He wanted to play with Rowlet. He's like, yeah, well, I also want to use a Persian. It's dark and it's cool. I'm like, yeah. Pulled out my phone, went to Cerebi, pulled up the new Persian, showed it to him, he goes,
Garfield?
Alright, I'm gonna play with Alakazam.
Yes, you are.
Like, he instantly went, no, I want nothing to do with that. So like a good boy. Good job.
How old is he?
He's 8, right? Maybe? I think he's 8. I'm gonna go with 8.
You know what we should do? We should construct a team for him. And we'll even like hatch the eggs and
send train them over and
say,
to them.
These are the Pokemon you have to use for your run.
Yeah.
Give him a little education.
Man, what? I mean, he's already done. He's played through most of it, and then he wanted to start over because he started with Lynn,
mm-hmm.
and so he wanted to use Rowlet because I was using Rowlet, and so he started over, but he had a Magnezone. Jason, my sister's husband, went out of town, and I went over there to stay with her because, you know, she's got kids and it's dark and whatever. So I slept in Jacob's bed because he went with Jason. They went on a camping trip. But Jacob left his Game Boy, and I picked it up and I turned it on, had mine on, and I knew he had Kadabra. So I traded over, evolved it, moved it back, put the Game Boy back exactly where it was. Mm-hmm. Took him 2 weeks to realize what I had done. He's like, wait, that's an Alakazam. Like,
you're welcome.
2 weeks ago when I did this. Mm-hmm. Didn't tell him a thing. It was great.
Mm-hmm.
So he had an Alakazam. I got him a Gengar. Did all this cool stuff. And he's like, I'm going to start over. I'm like, yeah, fuck you.
Put it in the bank. Put it in the bank. Does he not have Pokemon Bank?
No. I need to get him that.
So his parents don't love him? Fuck. I just had to renew my Pokemon Bank a couple days
ago. It's like, $5?
Yeah.
I showed him Pokemon Silver. He goes, why would you play this? Because it's awesome? No, it's not. Look at it.
That son of a bitch.
You're a little.
Now we're not making him a team. Just for that.
I'm going to make him play through it. He's like, can I play your X? I have X. You want to play Pokemon X? He's like, no. You got to beat your Ruby game that you started, and you got to beat your son. And just for your comment, you may also have to beat Silver before I let you play my ex.
Yeah, well, I have a 7-year-old nephew, and for his birthday, I gave him one of my hand-me-down DSs, and I loaded it up with Pokemon. I gave him a cartridge for Pokemon X, and then I preloaded Red and Silver onto it. And the reason I thought he would do that is because I noticed he was watching YouTube videos. He likes to watch YouTube videos of games he's into. And he would watch these videos of someone playing Pokemon Red. I don't think he realized how difficult it is to actually just kind of play that game compared to Pokemon X, which is, you know, it's not so pixely. It actually is pretty detailed and kind of easy to navigate.
Yeah, it's so much more refined. Not even like in terms of just the visuals, but like taking Pokemon in and out of boxes and managing your items.
It's so much better.
So much smoother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, just like, and the fact that he can easily go to a Poke Center and then just, you know, he's in between routes, you know, 4, 5, and 6, and each one of those routes has 15 Pokemon.
Yeah.
It's like, there's 3 hours of gameplay there. Go ahead and just have fun catching shit.
Yep.
So, I don't know. I can get it, especially for a young kid wanting to...
Oh, no, I completely understand.
But, yeah, I hope he goes back to Red. Because he did start it up and started playing it a little bit, and I think he got frustrated by its lack of intuitiveness.
Oh, I know Jacob would... He'd play Red for 5 minutes and go right back to Ruby or Sun.
Well, he's wrong, but...
He will eventually become right by becoming older.
He played Sun first, so I was surprised he enjoyed Ruby, because they look significantly different.
Omega Ruby or Ruby?
Yeah, Omega Ruby.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was Omega Ruby. I mean, still, it was a difference. Like, the way your character is moving around.
Sure,
and
sure.
There's a lot of different things with that, but he really liked it, and he wanted to play Ruby because of the Mega Evolutions, because they're not in Sun.
Mm-hmm.
So, he hasn't got any of those, so he went back to Sun. Because he didn't get far enough in Ruby yet.
Mega Evolutions. All right, fine.
I like the Mega Evolutions.
Yeah, whatever.
What, you prefer the Z moves?
Neither, actually. I don't use it.
I'm not crazy about either, honestly.
The thing is, like...
Take them or leave them.
I'll scoff at them. They don't offend me. Like, if they keep them in the game, whatever. I'm not going to use them.
Oh, okay. This coming from the guy who says Gengar's best ghost because he has a Mega Evolution.
You son of a bitch.
Here's what I think would be cool. Say they did it all wrong with these Mega Stones. But instead of giving them to the best Pokemon in the game, which is what they did, give them to the garbage.
Oh, yeah. Give me a Tentacruel level Mega.
Mega Farfetch'd.
That one's too good. Mega Farfetch'd, I think, yes. Unknown, where it becomes every
That'd be amazing.
Oh, it's just a swarm of them. That's what the Mega Form is.
Yeah.
It's just the alphabet.
Their max stats will still be...
Mega Delibird.
Yeah, it'll just be like 500 stats. Yeah. They won't be the greatest things ever.
But... Oh, that'd be great. Mega Delibird's got like a Santa beard and...
Oh,
that'd be so good.
Oh, maybe he just likes... He's riding around on a Stantler. It's gonna be great.
You only can use Mega Delibird if Stantler's also in your party.
Ooh.
That's a fun stipulation.
And then it has 2 health bars.
Jeez.
Oh, that's getting complicated.
Yeah, let's do this. I don't care. It's fantastic.
But I like this idea. Yeah, maybe that's what they should have done with the Megastones was, you know, just take the things that are irrelevant that people skip and make them cooler rather than, you know. And like, so they did that. Like, Sableye. Sableye's Mega form is a
Mewile.
Now Sableye's usable.
Yeah, exactly. Pidgeot.
Mewile's almost usable.
Is there a Mega Pidgeot?
I think so. Hmm. Yeah, pretty sure.
I don't know.
I'll think so.
Anyway, let's wrap up the preview of November here. So, Elder Scrolls V Skyrim is coming to the Switch on the 17th. Got anything you want to say about Skyrim, Wes? I hear you like that game.
I love it. I love it. I know you're not going to get it. You have too many other things.
You both seem convinced I was wrong. I am right. There is a fucking
is
Mega
a
Pidgeot. Maybe you guys should just fucking play the game.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
No.
It just looks like Pidgeot.
We weren't saying you were wrong. We were just stunned at the prospect.
You moved past it immediately.
Well, you were looking it up.
Prepare to be woke. Be very much woke.
I am vamping. Give me an opportunity to fucking look this up.
Yeah.
It's going to sit here and watch you type into your computer awkwardly.
Yeah. I love it. Hey, look, that took 2 seconds to look up.
All right, well, anything
good
else about Skyrim, Wes?
No. If you've never played Skyrim before, get it.
Mm-hmm.
If you have played Skyrim before, why get it?
Because maybe you want to play it on the go. There's always
that. All
right.
There's a game we kind of brushed past. Sorry.
How many times have you bought Skyrim? And you're telling people other...
Probably twice.
Yeah, you're telling people not to get it? Come on.
I mean...
Buy it if you want. I do not want, so I will not.
Yeah, buy it if you want. It's a fantastic game. It's totally worth it, though.
You're saying
one of my favorites.
Axiom Verge.
Axiom Verge, yeah.
Game looks awesome, but it looks very much like a throwback.
Yeah, it is. It's that game came out on the Switch on October 5th, but I had already talked about that one because that one came out on the Wii U.
Oh, you brought it.
Yeah, I played that one before.
Yeah. You like it?
Yeah, it was really good. Mm-hmm.
Is it like really like this dark science story?
Oh yeah, it's
like it looks like you're the scientist who's like unlocked all of these evil monsters or something.
Yeah, it's psychedelic toward the end, yeah. And it is very like grotesque.
Mm-hmm. It's like you had one of those madness peppers.
Yeah,
is that what it's called?
Yes, the insanity pebbles.
The insanity peppers.
Insanity pebbles.
Pebbles from Quetzal Tanaka. It's a tough one to say. They're harvested in an insane asylum. Per Chief Wiggum's story. It's like that's the prisoners with the people that
are... Well, there's knitting class, and then there's...
Pepper growing.
You guys really gotta watch it. The episode is fucking wonderful.
Oh, this makes me think of Happy Gilmore when he takes the old people and makes it slave labor.
I don't want to think of any Adam Sandler movie.
Oh, man. It's so great. Like, he's got these chili boots that he wears, and like it's like I feel like there's a million things I could just tell you like lines from the episode because they're all so funny. But man, they're really on fire when they wrote that episode. They just got it. It was so funny, and it's in Spanish too. It's like the Nuestro Homer de Simpson or something like that. It's very you can't just if you just type in like insanity pepper.
The movie first.
I urge everyone before you watch Stranger Things, watch
that. Watch the episode of Simpsons with the Insanity Peppers.
Yes. Ryan, take a look at a game called Tiny Metal.
Oh, it's going to take forever to look up, man. I'm sorry. I don't think I got time to do
this. But I got good news. I want to vamp for a second. Apollo Justice Ace Attorney is coming to the 3DS on November the 21st. It's a remake of the Apollo Justice game that came out on the DS or back in 2006 or 2007. But Tiny Metal is a game
looks on the Switch.
Like Advance Wars?
Yeah, it sure does. I'm excited.
Might be going on here. Some
yeah, this one's
going
to be really cool.
Nice.
Because, I mean, Nintendo doesn't want to make an Advance Wars game right now, so...
Yeah.
They've done it for us. This is going to be great.
Apparently Ganon's in it. Who is this guy with his nose? He's just found his way into the series, too. He's commanding tanks. Yeah, cool. I'm about it. I love these kinds of... chessboard, tank battle things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's going to be really nice to actually play through like a game like this after playing so many Fire Emblems, because Fire Emblem, it's so much more meticulous with how you're managing your units, because you don't want people to die, and you want to manage them so that they're leveling up mm-hmm. together, so you're building a party, whereas like an Advanced Wars game, like, no, let's just produce units and go fuck some shit up. Yeah. And if they die, oh well, I'll build more rockets, it's okay.
True.
But I think it's going to bring the show to a close.
Yeah.
We're done here.
Mm. It's a good one.
Yeah. Next up is the Pokemon show.
7 years, woo-hoo. John.
Yeah.
That's a long time, man.
7 wonderful years.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Yes, in that time, we've seen you produce 2 children.
It's
we
true.
We produced 0 children. We're working on it.
You guys are doing the right thing.
We're going to try to adopt. When this state allows us, when Rick Scott decides he's not going to be a douche anymore, and lets us express our love, you know.
You should probably move in together first. Like,
oh no, can't do that, man. No way.
You need your privacy.
We want shared custody. That's the big thing.
About okay.
It. Yeah, we want the kid to not know who loves him more. or her.
Next up is the Pokemon show.
Yeah.
We should do some. We're gonna do some more thoughts on Gold Silver.
Is somebody gonna do a game of it?
Yeah, we should do some sort of game. I feel like we haven't done a game in a while.
Yeah.
You want to do
spelling
like...
bee? No, yeah, I mean,
spell Sarina.
I like putting the lists together. I like putting my quizzes together.
Well,
so
go for
I'll do it again if you guys are.
Do it, dude. I suck at the game. I suck doing it.
You actually are. You're writing a winning streak, aren't you?
He's good at playing it.
I'm good at playing it, but I suck at constructing it.
Oh, I see. I have like
this time.
I have basically like 6 generic structured questions already, like in the bank that I can just. Mad Lib a thing out of. Like, just find things with unique type combinations or, you know, just use Pokedex entries. That's a bunch of questions right there. And then it's like, just go to the list of best and worst stats and then find something.
Which Pokemon looks the closest to the penis chariot from Persona 5?
Oh, good question. I actually think it's the one that also kind of looks like Donald Trump.
Oh yeah.
Actually, yes. Coincidence?
Yeah, I must say.
We also got a fun Nintendo 64 next month.
Yeah.
It's going to be
what's up?
Killer Instinct Wave Race.
Ooh. Those will be good games.
I actually have we should pop it in at some point over the next couple weeks, but I got a copy of Killer Instinct.
Nice.
That came in.
And you gave me a copy of Wave Race.
Yep, so now you got that too.
Yeah,
so you got
my N64 that I don't have the cables for
anymore. Son of a bitch. But hey, you got it.
I got it now.
Now we all have a copy of Wave Race because I bought that not knowing I already had it. Yeah. Shows you how much I've played that game.
Yeah, I mean, well, I guess we'll do a full review of it, of course, but that game was just from like hopping in and being like, oh, I'm going to casually approach this game for having not played it maybe ever. It's like, that thing is difficult to navigate.
Yeah.
Just like it's really driving around in the thing is fucking hard.
Yeah.
Like on your little, like,
whatever. Say some stuff for the Super Nintendo show. No.
Nintendo 64.
Yeah, that one.
Oh, look how easy it is, Wes, to not confuse things. You can. If you listened to the previous show, you'd realize you gave me shit for fucking that up.
Did I?
Yes.
Oh, well, you know.
Yeah.
Well, it's tough to say, because you've been saying it for now, what, 7 years we've established?
Well, the Super Nintendo for 5.
Yeah.
Anyway. But, that's the end. Till next time, everybody.
So long.
Later.